We're going to spend time looking at Daniel chapter 2. And so if you've got your Bibles, will you go ahead and grab those and turn to Daniel 2? We're just going to do the first part of Daniel 2. You'll have to wait to hear the dream and the interpretation as we go through there. But as you're turning there to Daniel chapter 2, just a reminder that Daniel was written to encourage God's people to be faithful while they were living in exile. We saw in Daniel chapter 1 that many Israelites were carried off to Babylon as part of God's sovereign judgment on the nation because of their faithlessness to Him. And it's a time period that in Israel's history is referred to as the exile. The people lived in a foreign country. They were surrounded by foreign people speaking a foreign language that worshiped foreign gods. And the challenge that they had was to be faithful to God in the midst of their exile. And I think that that's a message for us today, because with the rising secularism that we're experiencing in our country, we're seeing our country become more of a post-Christian culture. And I've been persuaded that it's helpful for us as Christians to think of ourselves, you know, that right now it's not the Christian country that we grew up in. We're now living in a kind of exile today. And so just like these Israelites who are living in a foreign culture surrounded by foreign ideas, we have the calling today to be faithful in our exile. So let me turn. We're going to see a next stage in this, something that occurs in Daniel chapter 2. I'm going to read through the first 24 verses. In the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar had dreams. His spirit was troubled and his sleep left him. Then the king commanded the magicians, the enchanters, the sorcerers, and the Chaldeans to be summoned to tell the king his dreams. So they came in and stood before the king. And the king said to them, I had a dream, and my spirit is troubled to know the dream. And the Chaldeans said to the king in Aramaic. By the way, from this point on, the next few chapters in the book of Daniel are written in Aramaic. Normally, the Old Testament is written in Hebrew. But these next chapters, chapter 2 through 7, are written in Aramaic. So one of the challenges for me that's been fun is I've been learning Aramaic so that I could read this. So, yeah, adding that language is always a good thing for a pastor. Anyway, Chaldeans said to the king in Aramaic, O king, live forever. Tell your servants the dream, and we'll show the interpretation. The king answered and said to the Chaldeans, the word from me is firm. If you do not make known to me the dream and its interpretation, you shall be torn limb from limb, and your houses shall be laid in ruins. They don't mess around back in these days. But if you show the dream and its interpretation, you shall receive from me gifts and rewards and great honor. Therefore, show me the dream and its interpretation. They answered a second time and said, let the king tell his servants the dream, and we shall show its interpretation. The king answered and said, I know with certainty that you're trying to gain time, because you see that the word from me is firm. If you do not make the dream known to me, there is one sentence for you. You have agreed to speak lying and corrupt words before me till the times change. Therefore, tell me the dream, and I shall know that you can show me its interpretation. The Chaldeans answered the king and said, there's not a man on earth who can meet the king's demand. For no great and powerful king has asked such a thing of any magician or enchanter or Chaldean. The thing that the king asks is difficult, and no one can show it to the king except the gods whose dwelling is not with flesh. Because of this, the king was angry and very furious and commanded that all the wise men of Babylon be destroyed. So the decree went out. And the wise men were about to be killed, and they sought Daniel and his companions to kill them. Then Daniel replied with prudence and discretion to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, who had gone out to kill the wise men of Babylon. He declared to Arioch, the king's captain, why is the decree of the king so urgent? Then Arioch made the matter known to Daniel, and Daniel went in and requested the king to appoint them a time that he might show the interpretation to the king. Then Daniel went to his house and made the matter known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions. And he told them to seek mercy from the God of heaven concerning this mystery, so Daniel and his companions might not be destroyed with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a vision of the night. And Daniel blessed the Lord of heaven. And he answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, to whom belong wisdom and might. He changes times and seasons. He removes kings and sets up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what is in the darkness. and the light dwells with him. To you, O God of my fathers, I give thanks and praise, for you have given me wisdom and might, and have now made known to me what we asked of you, for you have made known to us the king's matter. Therefore Daniel went into Arioch, and the king had appointed to destroy the wise men of Babylon. He went and said thus to him, do not destroy the wise men of Babylon. Bring me in before the king, and I will show the king the interpretation. There's a few things that we want to look at here, and I'm going to go through this somewhat quickly today with the time that we have. But what we're dealing with here in this build-up to the vision is the importance of depending on God's wisdom. Challenge that we have when we look at this, and we see in the first the setup of this story, is that when living in exile, we are often subject to the unfair whims and strategies of those in power. We look at the story and everything that builds up to it. Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. And in the ancient world, a dream was a big deal. It meant that God, you know, the gods had communicated something, and it was important to understand. He knew that. So he gathered together all the people who could deal with dreams. And in Babylon, the people who dealt with dreams had dealt with all kinds of omens, but they had dream manuals. Basically, there was a group of people that what they did is they'd hear somebody had a dream, and well, let me write that down, and then they'd check with them and find out what happened later, and they'd find out, you know, what happened as a result of that dream, and they had these huge volumes that were collected, so that then when they saw the pattern of dream and what happened, dream and what happened, dream and what happened, and when somebody else had a dream, they would go, all right, let's look through this, and let's find a similar situation, let's see if we can then judge what's going to happen because of what happened in the past. That's why the enchanters and the wise men said, hey, tell us what the dream is, and then we'll check and cross-reference it in our, you know, the big dream grimoire or something like that. By not telling the contents of the dream, Nebuchadnezzar was expecting them to get an answer directly from the Babylonian gods. But the wise men of Babylon, had no confidence that they could get an answer from the gods to satisfy the king. And when the king realized that, he acts characteristically for an absolute monarch in this time period. He flies into a rage and orders everybody to be, you know, off with their heads, so to speak. We're not immune today from being put into awful situations by people in power. Maybe it's a boss. Maybe it's somebody who is jealous of you and sandbags, you know, your career or scoops you on a sale or something like that. Maybe it's somebody that disagrees with us and wants to shut us up. Maybe it's somebody that feels threatened by us. Or maybe it's just business, nothing personal. We find ourselves, you know, either for some reason or sometimes even arbitrarily, something happens. And we find ourselves in difficult situations. Not the exact kind of situation, but in a situation that comes about like this. It's something that can happen even if we were a Christian nation. But just like Daniel and his friends found out, it's potentially more likely and devastating when we're living in exile. Enter God's wisdom. God's wisdom enables his people to keep calm under pressure. And as it says in the passage, to act with prudence and discretion. Now, the truth is that when the stuff hits the fan, most of us freak out. You know, what are we going to do? You know, we go crazy and we have all kinds of, you know, whether we lash out in anger or we fall into depression, whether we live in denial, whatever we do, we freak out. Daniel literally had a life and death matter facing him. And you know what's amazing is that he didn't freak out. He acted, as it says, with prudence and discretion. Look at what it says. Daniel replied with prudence and discretion to Arioch. What's going on? He asked him. And he went in and requested the king to give him more time. Daniel is a model of this godly wisdom. God had so impacted his life that when the pressure came, he kept calm. He thought quickly about how to respond. He exercised prudence and discretion in his response to the executioner, where the wise men just tipped the king off and brought a death sentence on themselves. Daniel's answer prompted the executioner to bring him to the king. He spoke to the king, and the king listened to him and gave him the time. Daniel was able to gain that favor. And part of the reason he was able to do that is because he was responding in a biblical way to what a situation that just happened to happen to him. Where does this wisdom come from? How is he able to do this? Well, we see in the last section of this, God's wisdom is found through our relationship with Him. You know, what we see, the very first thing, what did Daniel do? You know, he talks to the king. The very, very next thing that he does is he gathers his Christian or, you know, believing friends, if you will, and he says, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Let's beseech God to give us the wisdom that we don't have, to give us something that we need in this situation. He turned it over to the Lord, and the Lord answered. When Daniel received an answer, there's another part of this. He didn't just go, yes, all right, you know, let's have a party, you know, and celebrate. You know what he did? He went in prayer of thanksgiving to thank God for giving him that answer. What we have to remember is that when we think of biblical wisdom, a lot of times we read the book of Proverbs and we think, oh, you know, Proverbs is great. You know, it's like the recipe for success. You know, add a dose of this and a little bit of that, you know, bake it for 15 minutes and boom, you know, we've got the wisdom that we need. Wisdom is something that comes not through human effort, not even through wise choices, although that's oftentimes part of it, but it comes from the relationship that we have with God. It's God working in and through us to empower us to know what to say at the right time. Just the amount of what to say and the right tone and all of those sorts of things. When we're in tune with God, we have the ability that Daniel demonstrates to respond with prudence and discretion, to keep calm, and to get the answers that we need for the decisions that we have to make. I want to challenge you that there's two things I think that we can do to put this into practice and to live this in our lives. We're going to encounter tough situations. You know, get an amen on that? Anybody ever experienced a tough situation? Okay. When we encounter an adverse situation, what we have to think about is that every tough situation gives us an opportunity to respond in one of two ways. We can either respond out of our flesh, or we can respond out of faith. Okay? Those are the two options that we've got. And let me define those things, because when we hear flesh, and we're not sure, you know, what that is, flesh is talking about a natural human response. And because of humanity's fall into sin, what we know about our flesh is that our flesh has also fallen into sin. So our natural human response when we get with something is corrupted and tainted by sin. Our thinking is tainted by sin. Our understanding is tainted by sin. And so what happens is that if we respond in the flesh, we're going to respond in unbiblical ways. We're going to freak out when something bad happens. We're going to respond in anger. We're going to respond, you know, in depression or something like that. The flesh is what leads us in that direction. It's our trust in God that gives us an anchor to be able to keep focused on right thinking, correct thinking, so that when we respond in a way that's pleasing to Him. It's something that's not only going to be honorable to God and bring a blessing to ourselves, but it's something that as we see here with Daniel, lives are on the line. And Daniel's response out of his relationship with the Lord is a blessing to others. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says that no temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, He will also provide the way of escape so that you may be able to endure it. It's a promise from the Lord that if we're in connection, relationship with Him, He will give us what we need. Not necessarily to escape it. And that's an important part of 1 Corinthians 10:13. It mentions the way of escape of the temptation, but that we may be able to endure it. Sometimes we have to go through those situations, and sometimes the strength of God is being able to face that situation and go through it with His power, with the dignity that He gives us. So the biggest question for us is, how do we build this relationship with God? What does that look like? Yeah, I want that, you say. What do I do? Well, again, it's not pulling out the book of Proverbs, you know, throwing in a couple dashes of this and a little bit of that, baking it for 15 minutes. Instead, it's something that's just part of a process, part of a procedure that God's people have been doing through history. We commit to a relationship with God through reading His Word. The message that He's given us, you know, like, hey, guys, pay attention. You know, this book, this has everything that you need for life and godliness. Know this. Read it. Learn it. But it also involves our time in prayer with Him. This is where we talk to him about that. This is where what we've loaded in our minds and we talk to him about, he's going to bring to remembrance and he wants to give us the message that we need. One of the other things that I think Daniel exemplifies here is that it's also something that is done through relationships. We could do this on our own, but we don't do it as well. Daniel could easily have gone to his room and just prayed on his own. But he knew that there was power in going to his friends, his companions, the people who were on the same page with him, and involving them in that was something that allowed, you know, all of them to encourage one another, to be focused on that together. And that is powerful in the way that God does things. God teaches us through his word. We pour out our problems to him in our fears, our hopes, through prayer. He often uses that to bring to mind what we need. And then when we get together with other Christians, oftentimes, you know, we pray and we're thinking in this mindset, and then one of our friends like throws something out that we never considered. It's a blessing to us and a blessing to them. And so when we, you know, iron sharpens iron, getting together and each sharing, that takes our prayer, our relationship with God to a whole new level. Because we see things that we weren't thinking about, things that we maybe have forgotten, weren't in the foremost in our mind. It's important for counsel. It's important for encouragement. It's important for accountability. Those are the reasons that we get together. And so one of the things I'm super excited about is that having Mark and Jessica here today, you know what? I mean, they're looking for partners, but you know what? They're looking for people who will do this prayer for them. Because the work that they're doing in Cameroon is not just a matter of, well, you know, let's throw a certain amount of dollars to it and the work is going to get done. There's a spiritual war that's going on. They need that support. And it's quite great to see, you know, the kind of blessings that they're able to do. They need that where they're at. But you know what? You and I need the same thing where we're at. We're going to be facing challenges. And we're going to find out, you know, that gosh, I have this situation that I'm dealing with. And then all of a sudden I'll talk to Bill and you know, he's going to surprise me with, he's dealt with something like that before and is able to share something like that. And we can mutually encourage one another. That's what a Christian life is about. That's why we're called to not do this on our own, but to do this in community with one another. And that's why, you know, there's a lot of people that say, oh, I can go out in the woods and I can commune with God better there than I ever could in church. And there's some truth, nature, and thinking about the majesty of God. There's a place for that. But that's not a substitute for getting together with other believers. Hebrews 10:24-25 reminds us, let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet with one another. As is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. We need that encouragement. We need that wisdom, that even if I know that God has things here that he's going to share in his word, I also know that sometimes the way he shares those things through his word is exactly what I'm doing today. I'm up here bringing and communicating to you a message from the word of God. And you know, the truth is, I don't have it all down. You know, I sometimes get locked in my thinking where I'm going this particular way, and I need, you know, somebody to come and to share another perspective on it, something that has meant a difference in your life, because that encourages me. And so as I try to encourage you and share what I have, you're trying to share with me, and you encourage me with that, and when we are all doing that with one another, the body of Christ is working together, and encouragement fulfills the vision that God has for us. So that's our challenge today. Do we be like Daniel and his friends? When we encounter that difficult situation, it's our first thought to go to the Lord, to ask his wisdom, to share with brothers and sisters, to ask them to pray for us, to be open to the message that God might share even through them. Maybe it's miraculous. Maybe we get the dream and God can do that. But I'll tell you that in this time where we have a complete word of God, something that Daniel didn't have, his time period, when I have other people that are indwelt by the Holy Spirit, that more often than not, it's other people that help give me those pieces that I need. It's other people that give me that encouragement, that counsel that enables me to get through the situations that I encounter. That's my challenge to you. Get plugged in. Don't be on your own. Daniel was a smart guy for not just trying to figure it out on his own, but with going to his friends. Don't cut yourself off from the resources that God wants to give you, that God's ordained to give you, not just through his word, but through other Christians that can speak into your life. with the time, I think I'm just going to close this with a word of prayer. Yes. Okay. We can do that. Yeah. We just had an announcement. I know I kind of saw it out of the corner of my eye that we've got a couple of our members here today who were experiencing some medical issues and were carried out to be able to get those resolved. So Dennis and Donna, we want to pray for them and just see what the Lord can do. So to close today and just be thankful for the body of Christ, let's ask for the body of Christ and let's pray for them and for the resolution of where they're at. Father God, we thank you so much for all that you have done. We are so grateful that you have not left us alone, that you've not left us without guidance. We know that we're going to encounter tough situations, and in the exile that we're living in, that's going to happen more and more frequently. Father, we also know that you are the God who gives us the strength to be able to deal with those challenging situations. Not something that we have within ourselves. Our resources are so pitiful compared to yours. But you give us strength to be able to deal with whatever situation comes our way. We want to pray right now, just as we think of our church family, and with Dennis Guthrie, with Donna Elmore, and whatever the nature of the medical issues that have hit them this morning, Father, we join together in prayer, asking for you to work in their hearts, to work in their bodies, to work through the medical professionals that are working with them. Father, for healing, for restoration of the health that they need. Father, we turn them over to you, and we pray for that today. And I pray for each of us today, Lord, that as we experience the challenging situations in life, that we would also experience what it is to turn to your word, to be encouraged by fellowship with others, that as we grow together, we're going to be able to weather every challenge that comes our way and to do that with the grace, with the dignity, with the confidence, and with the strength that your wisdom offers. Father, we thank you for all that you've done. And we give this day, we give all of our days to you. In the name of your Son, amen.